This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Keeker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Keeker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a wonderful program on tap with my friend and special guest. He's Mr. David Wiley. He's President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Melissa Baskell. She's the Director of Volunteer Services, again, with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David and Melissa, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thank you.
Good to be here today.
All right. Thank you. And today we're going to talk about volunteers and how integral they are to your business at Kansas City Hospice. And I think listeners might be surprised to learn just how many volunteers you have and how vital they are to your operation. So, David, let's talk about that.
You know, Steve, it's really one of the very best things about the hospice model. Here's a quick history lesson without getting into the nitty-gritty. The Medicare law defining hospice care in America was enacted way back in 1982, and it requires that volunteer hours equal at least 5% of the total patient care hours of all of our paid hospice employees. Now, specifically, here's a few guidelines, and again, I don't want to get into the weeds, but I want to set the stage for you so you know why and how we operate the way that we do, and frankly, why it works so well. So, the law says that agencies like ours need to have at least one employee designated as a volunteer supervisor. The agency needs to recruit volunteers, needs to provide training for volunteers, and our volunteers need to be used in day-to-day administrative and/or direct patient care roles. And finally, we need to document the cost savings that we're achieving using volunteers and report that to Medicare on an annual basis. So that's really the gist of the legal reasons behind this. Kansas City Hospice has to legally work with our volunteers, and the thinking was that volunteers would keep hospice providers community-oriented and patient and family-focused, along with maximizing healthcare resources. It's a big idea with big goals, and guess what? It actually works, and we love it.
All right, that's fantastic to hear, and I know what you mean. It doesn't always work out when something is mandated into law, okay? So sometimes it seems better in theory and maybe on paper than in reality. But what you're saying is that integrating volunteers as part of the care team really does work, and that's terrific to hear.
You know, we know this anecdotally, but we see it every day, every single day. And, you know, that's part of what Melissa is here to talk about. Our volunteers across our organization are just amazing. And Melissa and her team, who help lead, organize, recruit, retain, train, and motivate, and celebrate our volunteers, also amazing team. You just can't believe the work that they do to improve the overall family experience and the satisfaction.
All right. And this is probably no surprise to you, Melissa. And by the way, and welcome back to the program. Let's talk about the volunteers at Kansas City Hospice.
Thank you, Steve. I do love to talk about them. Our volunteers are such an integral part of the patient and family experience at Kansas City Hospice. And let's talk some numbers while we're at it. For Kansas City Hospice, we're so thrilled to have the engagement of around 300 volunteers annually. Folks can volunteer with us and make a difference in the lives of people who are facing serious illnesses, their families, and the community by volunteering with us. There are so many ways to get involved. We put a real emphasis on utilizing each volunteer's talents and interests, so it's a win-win relationship. It's actually threefold. A win-win-win. The families are better served, as David mentioned earlier, because of the volunteer involvement. The volunteers themselves are fulfilled and are able to put their skills and interests to good use. And as an organization, they fill a huge need for us. We need these volunteers. They're vital.
Yeah, I can see that. And I know one of the volunteer opportunities is at your hospice houses. What's that all about? And tell us about that.
Well, first I'll say Kansas City Hospice House is the largest inpatient hospice house in the state. We also have North Care Hospice House, which is another very large inpatient hospice house. So between these two and our home care patients, we have lots of patients and families to take care of. And we're so thankful to have a wide, diverse group of hospice volunteers to do it alongside our dedicated professional team members. Our Kansas City Hospice volunteers are as diverse as the patients we serve. They cover all ages, ethnic backgrounds, and lifestyles. Some volunteers are retired, others are working professionals, some are students, and we love that we have that mix. Many give respite, companionship, and other direct services to patients and families. And some of our licensed professional volunteers provide in-home services to those who are unable to leave the house because of their illness. Administrative professionals use their expertise to assist with office needs, maintaining policies, marketing, photography, fundraising, board leadership, and more. All of these folks are caring individuals who offer their presence in some way that benefits our patients, their families, and our staff. Some of our volunteers even propose their own roles based on their unique experiences. Their volunteer jobs might be different, but they all bring the heartfelt energy, love, dedication, and compassion that completely enhances the professional skills of the rest of our patient care teams. As you mentioned, Kansas City Hospice is a richer, more profound experience because of the contributions of our volunteers.
And that is just amazing.
And you might have heard of our annual Circle of Lights Memorial event coming up in May. Our volunteers provide an integral part in this. This is a large outdoor event with hundreds of luminary bags, sand, candles, tons of moving parts. Our volunteer coordinators recruited and organized volunteers for setup, event support, and teardown. In short, I'm trying to point out that we have opportunities. Whatever your interests, we have opportunities.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. And David, the Circle of Lights Memorial, that is a beautiful and really powerful celebration and remembrance.
You know, it really is. And it's a time when the community can come together, remember and celebrate those that have died in their life. And we invite the community to come out, and you don't have to be served by Kansas City Hospice. And it's the Tuesday before Memorial Day. So this year it's May 20th.
May 20th. Okay.
Yep. At 8 o'clock, it's at the fountain at Mill Creek Park on the Country Club Plaza. And people can just go online. They can reserve that luminary. Well, like Melissa said, our amazing volunteers work so hard to pull it all together. We couldn't do the event without them. And we'd love people to check it out and come join us for a beautiful evening.
And if you can't be there in person, you can still go online and sign up for the luminary. And then one of our wonderful volunteers will then light the luminary, and your loved one will be remembered as part of that ceremony. Is that right, David?
Absolutely. It's a great evening. It's always beautiful. There's no cost to participate. Of course, if people want to make a donation, that's always appreciated. It helps us do all the great work that we do. And if people just want to go online, that's kchospice.org/COL for Circle of Lights.
All right, kchospice.org/COL. It's the Circle of Lights Memorial event, and it's coming up May the 20th, so it's coming right up. And again, if you can't be there, but you want to have your loved one remembered and represented there, you can go online again, kchospice.org/COL, and make a contribution and have that luminary lit. And how many volunteers does it take to pull that off? It's a big event.
Yeah, it's a big event, and we're really lucky to have the community support to make that happen. Generally, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 volunteers throughout the day.
Oh,
so
wow.
Our setup volunteers and then those who attend to pull off the ceremony and the lighting of all the luminaries and all that good stuff. So it's a big undertaking.
And this is an annual event.
Yes. I don't know how many years we've done this, but
it's actually more than 20 years in that this has been a tradition. So it's been a fun part of us for a long time.
Excellent, excellent. And then the proceeds from this event go towards Kansas City Hospice, which is a nonprofit organization, and all of it adds up, and it all matters because you serve patients regardless of their ability to pay. So this is a huge opportunity to contribute to those in our community and then provide this wonderful service for someone, even if they do not have the ability to pay. I just think it's a beautiful thing.
Thanks, Steve. You know, we're proud of it, and the opportunity to take care of people in a way that they deserve is just absolutely what we're all about.
All right. We'll have more coming up next, but now the Senior Care Live question of the week. What is the minimum and maximum age you need to be to volunteer at Kansas City Hospice? And here are your options. A, there is no minimum or maximum. B, 5 years old and 50 years old. C, young at heart is all we ask. Or D, complete an application and let's talk. What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. Back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. What is the minimum and maximum age you need to be to volunteer at Kansas City Hospice? A, there's no minimum or maximum. B, 5 years old and 50 years old. C, young at heart is all we ask. Or D, complete an application and let's talk. And the answer is D. The answer is D. And Melissa, why is D the right answer? Complete an application and let's talk.
So D is the answer because the first step to becoming a volunteer at Kansas City Hospice is to complete an interest form online at kchospice.org/volunteer. While trained volunteers working with patients and at the hospice houses must be 16 or older, there may be opportunities for groups that include younger youth. There are opportunities for all ages.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. I'm visiting today with David Wiley and Melissa Baskell, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. If this is resonating with you and you're like, you know what, I need to check that out. That sounds really like a fantastic opportunity, very fulfilling. And I guarantee you it is. Reach out to Kansas City Hospice at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.org. So, Melissa, before the break, we learned how important volunteers are to the operation of Kansas City Hospice. Tell us more about some of the opportunities available to potential volunteers.
I'd love to. We have three main volunteer opportunities, as we mentioned. We're so grateful for our volunteers. Our patients and families are so thankful for the care and interactions. So the first option is to participate in training and become an ongoing volunteer. These volunteers who join Kansas City Hospice first complete an application. They go through a screening process, and then they train for the role in which they wish to serve. So you'll find a list of ongoing volunteer needs on our website. You'll go to kchospice.org, click Get Involved, and then click Volunteer at the top of the page to search volunteer opportunities. And that will lead you to the right page to get started. And something your listeners should know is that many volunteer roles are flexible. Our opportunities are available days, evenings, weekends, pretty much any time. Some volunteers choose to be available on a weekly basis and others on an as-needed basis or by responding to our weekly e-newsletter that goes out to our volunteers internally. These are the program volunteer opportunities we spoke about earlier. So these are things like in-home companionship or respite for hospice patients, chores and errands or yard work for hospice patients and families. It can be bedside vigils with those who are in their final hours, co-facilitating grief support groups for children or adults, helping at our grief support camps, serving trays to hospice patients at Kansas City Hospice House, front desk shifts at our hospice houses, even licensed services for patients like basic haircuts, massage therapy, legal services, and notary services. We have certified pet support teams, volunteers in administrative roles, and those who sew memory bears and memory pillows for patients' families, and even couriers making regular deliveries between our five locations. And training for the various roles is held throughout the year. It's actually held anytime. It's mostly virtual, and it's just on a rolling basis. So anytime someone wants to get involved, we have training available. So if this sounds like something you want to be part of through our ongoing volunteer corps, please visit our website and select the area in which you'd like to volunteer and complete our quick online application, and we'll be in touch. It's that simple.
That really is simple. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that's smart. Just make it simple. And if people want to volunteer, let's get connected and let's move forward with that.
That's right. And another option for volunteering is as part of our Story Boutique and Heart and Soul resale stores. We are always looking for friendly volunteers to fill regular shifts, helping customers with shopping purchases, accepting donations. And there are also non-customer facing duties, which some people prefer, like sorting donations, organizing, cleaning, creating displays, researching prices, helping with online sales, so much more. If you'd like to join the Story Boutique or Heart and Soul volunteer team, the easiest thing to do is just stop by either of the stores. Story Boutique is located in Leawood, Kansas, and Heart and Soul is in Olathe. And all the proceeds from Story Boutique and Heart and Soul fund Kansas City Hospice. And then the third option to support us on a volunteer basis is what we would call becoming a community volunteer. And so for this, there's no application, no real commitment or training or need to accept an ongoing assignment. You would respond to various opportunities and fundraising events or make crafts such as heart door hangers, a quilt or a blanket, or even host a community drive to collect needed items for patients and families. You can always view the Community Volunteer Opportunities flyer for ongoing service projects. By requesting volunteer information online, you'll be placed on an email distribution list and will periodically receive a list of community volunteer opportunities from us.
That's, I mean, wow. It's clear the need is just definitely there, and I can sense how rewarding these opportunities might be. I'd like to ask each of you, do you have any special volunteer-related stories that you could share with us today so listeners can really get a good feel for what they're getting into if they would sign up to volunteer?
I'd love to tell you about a couple of new volunteer programs we're really proud of, Steve. One is a program we launched about a year ago called Teen Pajamas. It's tailored for teens and young adults, and it provides a unique opportunity for people ages 16 and older to contribute to our hospice house care setting during the evenings. So these volunteers will provide support by ensuring families are comfortably tucked in for the night. So they take a cart around and they offer a selection of items like pillows and earplugs, herbal teas and books and other comfort items. And we're hoping that through this program, we can inspire the next generation to embrace the value of hospice care. We're hoping to ignite a passion for service and community engagement similar to that which guided me to a lifelong hospice career.
All right. And that's just an incredible idea. I can see how many big-hearted young people wanting to be a part of that Teen Pajamas. That just sounds fun. So is there another program you'd like to mention?
I did want to mention our end-of-life doula program, too. With several volunteers. It launched last year in 2024, and we're so happy to have trained end-of-life doulas working with patients and families across the city. When the situation is right, they work hand in glove with our care teams. And I actually wrote a blog post about this program. It's available on our website at kchospice.org, and it has a lot more details. But I wanted to make sure and mention these wonderful volunteers today, too.
Thank you, Melissa. And that just sounds like an excellent addition to the outstanding care that I know your teams provide. And David, can you stick with us after the break and maybe go into the next part of the program with us here today? I know you're super busy. Can we have you stay over?
Let's do it.
All right. So again, we're talking about volunteers today, and I just know so many people I talked about this actually a couple of weeks on the show a couple of weeks ago, where there's a lady writing a book, and she has met so many people who volunteer, and then they kind of lose their sense of identity. They lose their friend group, and they're looking for something to engage with and something to plug into. This might be the perfect opportunity to find a meaningful volunteer opportunity. I think you get as much out of it as the patients and the families and everything. Reach out to Kansas City Hospice at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.org. And we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to seniorcarelive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm speaking today with David Wiley and Melissa Baskell, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And if this is resonating with you, reach out and seriously explore the opportunities. You may be a newly retired person, kind of looking for the next chapter, if you will. And maybe you feel a little left out because, hey, I used to be this important person. I was doing all these things, and now I don't. What is my identity? It's easy to become depressed. Maybe you have a special special skill or passion that you could apply being a volunteer at Kansas City Hospice. And if that's you, I would really, really strongly encourage you to reach out and just have a discussion with Kansas City Hospice, 816-363-2600. You can also go online at kchospice.org. And David, we were talking on the break, and you had mentioned that when I mentioned, you know, a retired person, maybe they have skills and passion that could be very beneficial, and you thought of someone right away that is currently volunteering with you.
Absolutely. We have a volunteer. Her name's Carol, and she sometimes she volunteers 7 days a week, and I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
She has several different paths of things that she does on a regular basis, and she actually is a huge champion. She's an amazing volunteer. April is National Volunteer Month, and that's why we're talking about it today. They're just so incredible, and they help us be just the best hospice in the area.
Excellent, excellent. And David, I know you had something else important to talk about today.
Well, you know, it's important, I think, Steve, to talk about National Healthcare Decisions Day, which is April 16th. And, you know, it's one of those holidays, but this is an important one, and I'm glad that we're ending on it. You know, the whole reason National Healthcare Decisions Day exists is to inspire, educate, and empower listeners and their medical providers about the importance of advanced care planning. It's an initiative to encourage patients to express their wishes regarding healthcare, and for providers and facilities to respect those wishes, whatever they may be. So if you haven't made your plans known, April 16th is a good day to do that. And we do have some really important information and resources about making advanced planning decisions on our website, kchospice.org/legacy. We have some information on trust and annuities, beneficiary designations, revocable living trust, durable financial power of attorney, advanced healthcare directives, and more.
All right. So April the 16th, that's easy to remember.
Sure. Really.
The day after the dreaded tax day.
Exactly.
But every year, and, you know, we've talked about this for years, April the 16th, National Healthcare Decisions Day. It's just it's kind of a convenient way, maybe an easy way as a reminder to update your living will, you know, your power of attorney documents, all those sort of things. If you don't have them in place, get them in place. I will be visiting your website because I need to do that.
Do it.
So, and I've been kind of dragging my feet on that, and it's easy to do that, but I'm not dragging my feet anymore. So I'll be visiting your website like in the next day or two here. So again, if you want that information, kchospice.org/legacy. And there's a wealth of information there. Thank you, David. You've shared some fantastic information today about the importance of volunteers to end-of-life care and the many ways volunteers make a difference. And where can listeners learn more about these volunteer opportunities?
You know, Steve, Melissa did a great job. The first step is to learn more about becoming a volunteer with Kansas City Hospice. And to find out more about that, visit us at kchospice.org/volunteer. There you can also complete a short volunteer interest form, and one of our incredible volunteer coordinators will follow up with you. There's no obligation when you fill out a form. It's really just a simple way to learn more and let us know that you're interested. And then, of course, as we just talked about, I want you to make sure people check out kchospice.org/legacy for more information and links to free resources on the topic of advanced care planning.
Excellent. Excellent. As always, thank you, David Wiley and Melissa Baskell, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. Always just jam-packed with fantastic information, super helpful information, wonderful resources. As always, thank you very much for being here today.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
And that was just excellent. And again, just wanted to thank David and Melissa for being on the program today. Let me just brag about Kansas City Hospice. They are phenomenal Absolutely phenomenal. They are a class act. We are so fortunate to have Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care serving our community here in the Kansas City area. And it's not just in Kansas City. They have a pretty good reach into Kansas and Missouri. Let me just a couple of things here. So they have several different fundraising events. Circle of Lights is one of them, but they have several different fundraising events throughout the year. And they're raising extra funds. They are a nonprofit organization, and the extra funds allow them to go above and beyond for all of their patients. There are so many measurables. We've talked about this on the program before, and David's gone through a lot of these, but so many measurables where they are way, way over the minimum required to be a hospice provider. Way over and above. Each year they raise, around $500,000 or so, maybe more, plus or minus. Okay. And that stays in our community. It doesn't go anywhere else. It stays in Kansas City, again, to go above and beyond for their patients. And I think one of the big things is they will take care of you even if you do not have the ability to pay. And they're a nonprofit, so the extra funds that are raised, part of it goes to caring for those who cannot pay. Also, another thing that they do is they offer, and this is unimaginable, but they offer pediatric hospice care. And somewhere around, 80 to 100 patients per year that they're caring for them, this little person and their families. And that is, that one kind of blows me away. But you talk about something that is needed and is difficult, but they can take care of you with that. I hope you never have to see that, but it's there, and they are phenomenal. It's just a beautiful. They have camps, they have boutiques, there are all sorts of opportunities where they're just constantly raising money to care for people, and again, going over and above. And then at the holiday time, we talked about this maybe last time around the holidays, or maybe the year before. But they've met people, and their utilities are turned off, and maybe they needed groceries. They've brought in some gifts around holiday time and that sort of thing. And they don't have to do that, but guess what? They do that. And they're able to do that through all of these fundraising events. We mentioned the hospice houses. I have heard so many. I've never heard. I've told David this a few times before. I have never heard one negative comment, not one breath about family's interactions and their experience at the hospice house. It's just full of love and praise. And you provided such great care for my brother, my mom, my dad, my spouse. They are phenomenal. And then I also wanted to, and a lot of people think that hospice is a place. And with Kansas City Hospice, this is very rare, but they do have a place. They have two places, right? North Care and then the Kansas City Hospice House. And so that is a place. But let me say, and that's really more for an acute, very end-of-life situation. We have medical needs, tremendous pain management needs, that sort of thing. So it is, and you're staying in a facility, and it's stocked with food for the family and everything. It's a beautiful, warm, caring, loving environment. But guess what? Hospice is provided wherever you call home. So you can receive hospice care at the hospice house or North Care Hospice. And those are both, inpatient. You're in a building, a facility, but you could also receive hospice services at your home. They'll come right to your home and take care of you. We had hospice services for my dad back in 1997. They came to our home and took care of him, and they took care of us. There's a lot of support for the family as well. If you live in an apartment, that's your home, they'll come to your apartment. If you live in assisted living, that's your home, they'll come to assisted living and care for you. And if you live in long-term care, otherwise known as a nursing home, yes, they can come to you and care for you even if you're in long-term care. Reach out to Kansas City Hospice at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.com. seniorcarelive.org. And I'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. All right. So wanted to talk about how to pay for care. You know, we talk about this all the time, here and there. We talked about, private pay, Medicare, VA aid and attendance benefit. We'll probably cover that here coming up before too long again. And Medicaid, of course, we've talked about that. But I want to go back and just review long-term care insurance. Because I'll tell you, long-term care insurance got kind of a bad reputation, I think. When it first came out, and gosh, I think it was back in the 90s, I think, maybe even earlier than that. But it was not attractive at all. Hey, you want to buy some nursing home insurance? Oh, hey, let me sign up for that. No one wanted to think about that. No one wanted to pay money for it. And you, yuck, right? And so, but they did sell a lot of policies, and it is a good thing to have, et cetera, et cetera. But it just didn't get off to a good start. So then long-term care insurance policies now have improved a ton, and I mean a ton. So they are really more tailored to meet your needs. There are a lot more options. It covers more than long-term care. You have inflation protection riders that you can add to this. It will now pay for home care in your home, adult daycare, which is a very good service if that might be needed. Assisted living is, how many people go to assisted living? And, of course, nursing home care or long-term care. So let's start to break that down. So you have several different components. And depending on how you set up these components, it will either increase the premium or decrease the premium. So let's talk about the first one, the elimination period. I like to call this a deductible because that's what it is, and I like to speak in English. So 90 days is typically, that's the most common one that I see out there. What that means is the first 90 days, you would pay the cost. And then on day 91, it would start to pay the daily benefit moving forward. Now, if you want a 60-day or a 30-day or a zero-day elimination period, that's less out of your pocket, but the premiums are a little more expensive. If you get, say, a 180-day elimination period or deductible, that means you're paying out of pocket longer, like 6 months, and then it starts paying. So that would reduce your premiums, if that makes any sense, okay? The daily benefit, this is what I recommend. You're going to need, if you're depending on this to pay for your care, you're going to need $300 a day. And again, if you buy $200 a day, the premium's a little bit less. If you buy $400 a day, the premium's more. You see how this works. I would definitely get $300 a day. That's going to pay for most of what you would need. And that's my recommendation. I would get at least a 5-year term. I would get longer if you could. Okay, because, all right, so 5 years, you're playing the average statistics. So depending on what study you look at, the average length of stay in assisted living is about 2.5 years. And again, plus or minus, depending on what study you're looking at. And then a number that I used to quote, 59% of assisted living residents will require a higher level of care. I think that number is lower today. Okay. But a reasonable number of folks in assisted living will outgrow that level of care. They will exceed the threshold and they will need to graduate to long-term care, where the average length of stay is about 2.5 years. Again, plus or minus, depending on the study you look at. So there's your 5 years right there. All right. And then you must have, and this one, I'm not gonna budge on this one. Okay, no, so it's easy for me to spend your money, right? But trust me, you got to do this. You have to get the inflation rider. Typically, what it will do is it will increase that benefit 5% per year. Guess what the average cost increase of all of these care communities, guess what that is every year? Set your watch to it, 3 to 5%. So that 5% will just bump up just a little bit every year. Now, and your premiums go up just a little bit every year. So everything's going to go up. All right. And you could buy a particular type of long-term care insurance that has flat premiums. I just spoke with the lady earlier this week. She paid 10 years of premiums and then the thing was paid up and she has a lifetime policy. And I said, do not ever get rid of that. That thing is worth its weight in platinum. And she said, oh, I'm not getting rid of that. She said, I've already paid for it. I paid for 10 years and boom, we're done. So, but get the inflation rider. And she's glad she did. She's had it for quite a long time and it has inched up to $412 a day. She is well covered. Well covered. That should pay for all or almost all of the highest level of care, which is long-term care and a private room. So she's really, really set and she's very happy that she bought that. And then your policy, and you will thank me later on this one too. Your policy must be a state partnership plan. And I need to get a long-term care insurance expert in here to kind of break that down for us. Here's how it goes. All right. So hang with me here. Let's say in the state of Kansas, if you run out of money, you outlive your assets, and you're down to $2,000 of liquid assets. Okay. And you have to receive care in a nursing home, long-term care. Okay. At that point, you would qualify for Medicaid when you're down to $2,000 of assets. Now, let's compare that to someone who had a long-term care insurance policy and paid, you know, privately for their care for a while. Let's say that long-term care insurance policy paid out $100,000 in benefits over a period of time. And while that insurance policy paid for your stay, guess what you weren't using? You weren't using Medicaid, right? If your long-term care insurance policy is a state partnership plan, the state says, thank you for investing in a long-term care insurance policy. Normally, you would have to spend your money down to $2,000, just for example, in the state of Kansas, and it's a similar number all across the country. Normally, you'd have to spend it down to $2,000, but since the long-term care insurance policy paid $100,000, now your spend down amount to qualify for Medicaid is $102,000. And what you've done is you've protected $100,000 of assets if you should need to qualify for Medicaid. Talk to your long-term care insurance representative. If it's not a state partnership plan, talk to them about getting it changed to that state partnership plan. I just think you gotta have that. And then when's the best time to buy this? My recommendation is age 55 plus or minus 5 years. How about that? So hopefully that'll help out. A quick review of long-term care insurance. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.